Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. To him who overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows, except him who receives it. The Lord sent a letter to each of the seven churches in Asia. These churches represent all Christians who have any religion. Ephesus represents people who care a lot about doctrine and what is true or false, but need to remember that the point of learning doctrine is to lead a life of charity. The church in Smyrna are Christians who are doing good things in their life, but are in falsities as to doctrine, especially that they do not acknowledge the Lord in his divine human. They don't know that Jesus is God, and therefore they do not approach him. Pergamos, the third church, stands for people who think that the whole life of religion consists in doing good things, and that learning the truth has nothing to do with being a good person. Apocalypse Revealed says that this is one of the most common kinds of people in the Christian world. Pergamos people donate money and time, help in their communities, and are very busy each day doing useful things. They will give you the shirt off their back, but they don't think about religion, except in the most vague, fuzzy way, because it doesn't seem important to them to understand the truth clearly. Apart from fundamentalists, this description fits a great many Christians of all denominations, basically decent, hardworking people who don't think a lot about religion. This is not a surprising attitude, since a lot of theology today doesn't make sense. So churches don't teach much, but they emphasize good deeds. Many Christians today are traditional Christians who grew up in a Christian family, so they've heard of the Lord and of the Bible, but they may not go to church very often and they don't read the Word. People who don't think much about the Lord and His Word appear wooden to the angels. This is because they are not deliberately acting under the Lord's guidance, but are more or less blindly following what other people approve of. Their innocence or willingness to follow the Lord is not very alive and alert because they don't think about the Lord except in the vaguest ways. They are a bit like robots, which carry on performing useful tasks without considering what they are doing or why. For these people, the Lord describes himself as the one who has the sharp, two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. He warns, "Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight among them with the sword of my mouth." The Lord will prove from the word that some of what they think of as their good works are really harmful in motive and in their effect on society. The sword is the truth of the Lord's word, which proceeds from his mouth. By the truth, the Lord drives out bad habits and attitudes from our lives, if we let him. The sword is sharp because it penetrates right to our hearts and souls. It exposes evils. It challenges long-held attitudes. The truth sometimes hurts, but only because we identify with evils and wrong ideas in ourselves instead of regarding them as things foisted on us by evil spirits. In the long run, we are much happier once we have made the changes the truth requires. So the Lord wants us to take up the sword for ourselves in our own lives, to expose and overcome our weaknesses. The Lord doesn't want to fight against us, but with us and for us, as we use the truth to examine ourselves and work on making the necessary changes. Why are truths essential to our lives? The quality of our motives and actions depends on our understanding of what we are doing and why. We need to think about what exactly we're trying to do and how to do it well in order to accomplish anything. The motivation is in our love and feelings, but love by itself is blind. The Lord says that the people of Pergamos dwell where Satan's throne is. Satan is a symbol for the hell of spiritual darkness and deceit. The people of Pergamos are ignorant of the truth, and so they are easily duped. We read, they are not to be called anything but Gentiles. They don't read the word. They don't think about the Lord much or look for truths to apply to their lives. So they are not much better informed than non-Christians. Satanic spirits have power, a throne, by means of such ignorant people. In fact, we are told evil spirits have no power without the kind of people meant by Pergamos. Evil spirits come to such people who love to do good works and say, I am your neighbor. You really must help me. Then the spirits of Pergamos immediately come forward and help without inquiring who is asking for help or what the help is for. They actually think it would be wrong of them to inquire. Such people, in the name of unconditional love, unthinkingly give support to evils and false ideals that break down society and the church. In America today, toleration and inclusiveness seem to be regarded as the most important virtues to the exclusion of many other virtues. For example, it has become more or less acceptable to live with someone without being married. And it has also become common for people to divorce and remarry for almost any reason. A Pergamos person, though he may not feel very comfortable with these lifestyles himself, is not sure there's anything wrong and excuses himself from thinking about it by saying, it's none of my business anyway. Meanwhile, society is falling apart with all the poverty and crime and mental and physical illness that stem from broken homes and broken promises. Today, we are in a lot of darkness about the roles of men and women, both in society generally and also in our church. This darkness and confusion gives evil spirits opportunities to create strife among the people of the church. The people of a Pergamos disposition might say, well, since I don't see any reason why not, let people simply do whatever they please and let's not argue about it. Possibly this is the answer. Possibly not. But a person in this state doesn't even want to look to find out if the Lord has anything to say about it in His Word. He or she simply acts on feelings and ideas picked up in the world around. Ideas in the common culture can be seriously harmful. Customs in celebration of weddings are an example. People often treat a marriage as if it were simply legalized animal behavior. So they make dirty jokes at weddings and associate them with foolishness, as though a wedding were just an expensive party. The Word shows us that there is nothing more holy, pure, and clean than love truly conjugal, and nothing with greater potential for happiness and use. The world doesn't have a clue about this. As new church Christians, we must not follow the customs of the world, but make new customs to celebrate and give strong support to the promise of eternal love and faithfulness in marriage. Think of how the heavenly doctrine's teachings about life after death have changed our attitudes and customs when someone dies. We don't have an open coffin in the church. We don't treat it as mainly a mournful occasion, especially if someone has lived a full life. We know from the Word what is now happening in our departed friend's life, and we celebrate their resurrection into eternal life. We have refreshment and hope because of the truths we have learned from the Lord. We might think, well, at least these people mean well, even if they're ignorant. But the Lord warns that He has a few things against them, even as to their intentions. Some hold the doctrine of Balaam, and some the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Balaam's teaching stands for hypocritical works. If we're not thinking about the Lord and trying to base our lives on His word, we tend to act for the sake of being seen and praised by others. To that extent, our works are not good, and we are easily led to do the wrong thing, since what we want most is approval, rather than what is really good. People of real religion recognize this hypocritical tendency in themselves and fight against it and keep turning back to the Lord, so their motives are steadily refined and purified of hypocrisy. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is the idea that we earn heaven by our works. It's a sense of entitlement and self-righteousness, sometimes joined with contempt for others. Pergamos people tend to take pride in all their good works. Now, it's not wrong for us to feel good about something we have done. The Lord wants us to enjoy doing good things and aim to become a good person in all respects. He wants us to choose to be upright, useful people who serve others. But we must remind ourselves that all the good we ever think of or do is from the Lord. Otherwise, it's not good at all. Some people in the Pergamos state, because they don't read the word, do not think about this. And so they have not made it a habit to give the credit to the Lord, but to themselves. To those who hold these false ideas, the Lord says, repent. But to those who do repent, the Lord promises a great reward. They may become angels of the highest heaven. The Lord will give them the hidden manna to eat. The manna is wisdom, that is, a deep understanding of the word from living according to it. When we practice living according to the word, we learn to live from the Lord. Then the Lord is with us, and we act with Him and from Him. The Lord Himself is the hidden manna, the bread of life, who will be with us and in us. It's called the hidden manna because with the angels of the third heaven, wisdom is a matter of life, not of memory and discussion. It's not theoretical. It is something one simply does based on long experience that it is what the Lord wants. The Lord also promises the church of Pergamos a white stone and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. The new name stands for good works that have a new quality. When we decide what to do based on truths we know from the Word, even though the act itself may be no different, our motive has a new quality, a higher kind of goodness. Little by little, we become a different person with a new name. A life of service to one's neighbors and an honest career is a very important preparation for heaven. All religion is of life, and the life of religion is to do what is good. So the Lord promises the highest reward to the people of Pergamos if only they overcome the evils and falsities with them. May we learn to read the word and think about how it applies to our lives. Then the Lord will purify our motives and make our actions truly wise and helpful. The Lord will be able to fulfill His promise in our church. To him who overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.